says, I'm still willing to treat COVID-19 patients. He's treated over 7,000 patients. His protocol has treated millions. Ladies and gentlemen, please stand to your feet and greet my good friend, Dr. Salinka!
Thank you. Thank you. Amen. So first of all, I'd like to thank God for this moment. It may not seem like it, but we're living in a privileged time. It's not easy, but we are in the process of a transition from a world of darkness to a world of truth. The enemy has revealed itself. And I'd like to, first of all, read you a story. It's called Do You Believe in Mother? Some of you might have heard it. In the mother's womb were two babies. One asked the other, do you believe in life after delivery? So the other replied, why, of course. There must be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what will be later. Nonsense, said the first. There is no life after delivery. What kind of life would it be? The second said, I don't know, but there will be more light than here. Maybe we will walk with our legs and eat with our mouths. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand now. The first replied, this is absurd. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouths, ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need, but the umbilical cord is so short, life after delivery is to be logically excluded. The second insisted, well, I think there is something, and maybe it's different than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical cord anymore. The first replied, nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life, and in the after delivery state, there is nothing but darkness, silence, and oblivion. It takes us nowhere. Well, I don't know, said the second, but certainly we will meet Mother, and she will take care of us. The first replied, Mother? You actually believe in Mother? That's laughable. If Mother exists, then where is she now? The second said, she's all around us. We are surrounded by her. We are of her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist. To which the second replied, said the first, well, I don't see her, so it is only logical that she doesn't exist. To which the second replied, sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and you really listen, you can perceive her presence and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above. This pretty much maps out the conflict that we are living in. There are two forces that have collided, and only one will survive. They're mutually exclusive. One force believes that we're made in God's image. Our lives have sanctity. It's God's department how many of us live on the planet, how long we live, who's free. And there's a second theology or philosophy, you can call it, where we evolved from nothing or from monkeys, or there's no divine aspect to life. And it's the survival of the fittest. Whoever is strongest or smartest is elevated to a higher stature, and that gives them the right to dominate and decide who should be free and how many of us should live on the planet. That's exactly what the enemy is doing. Let's define the enemy. They don't believe in God, and if they worship, it's not God. They may worship something else. They don't believe in an afterlife. And they believe that human consciousness disappears when you die. So the one thing that this enemy doesn't want to do is die, because of what happens to their consciousness. And so these are the words of Klaus Schwab and his advisors, someone named Yuval Noah Harari, which we'll talk about, and Bill Gates and all these degenerates. So this is what they've spent their billions in 30 years working on. It may sound like a fantasy, but they believe it's true. They are trying to create a new type of, let's call it platform, made up of organic and inorganic matter, a new life form, that has infused into it artificial intelligence. And they believe they can download their consciousness into this new humanoid form. Because they have a problem. This physical body we live on begins to break down at some point, right? We all end up in the same place. And our souls, I believe, obviously, that we ascend to God and we bask in the glory of the divine. But they are trying to cheat death. They, the enemy, is trying to find immortality because they're afraid of what happens next. Now, if you have that worldview, then you view the rest of humanity in a very interesting way. Most of us are useless. If you listen to them, not to me, if you listen to Elon Musk, a year ago he debuted his humanoid robots. And if you listen to what he said that these robots will replace 90% of the workforce. And therefore, we need universal basic income. Now, who actually thinks that these degenerates that are actually doing this want to give us free universal income? What that list is extermination list. So their plan actually is to eliminate 90% of humanity. These are people that have no problem wasting 6.5 billion people. We're dealing with genocidal sociopaths, megalomaniacs who believe that they're God. So one of he's called the prophet by Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, Schwab, Klaus Schwab, and Obama called him, said he's his favorite author on CNN. It's someone named Yuval Noah Harari. Now, this is he's just one man, but he represents a certain ideology. I want you to hear verbatim what he says. I'll just tell you. Humans are hackable animals. If we could hack, we could engineer with intelligent design. but not some god above the clouds, intelligent design, but rather our intelligent design. For we are now gods. There's no such thing as free will. There's no such thing as a soul. And COVID-19 crisis will mark an inflection point in history when surveillance was digitized and went under the skin. These are not my words. This is someone who speaks at the World Economic Forum almost every year to world leaders. So, how did we get to this point? I may say something that you may not like, but it's our fault. Society, humanity as a whole, has created a godless vacuum, meaning a place where God does not want to reveal himself. Why? We've desecrated life, we've desecrated marriage, we've desecrated gender. We've normalized immorality and debauchery as the law of the land. The reason why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed wasn't because they were immoral, everyone was immoral. Is they codified immorality into the law of the land. That's a way of saying to God, we don't want you here. The solution to this problem is the reconciliation unmasked of human hearts back with our Creator. We need to give up. We need to give up the worship of false gods. In this generation, false gods are the god of science, the god of technology, the god of power, the god of wealth, fame, lust. See, I have no problem with science or technology. I just believe that God created the laws of nature. And if anyone has ever studied any discipline and got to the core understanding of that discipline, they see the glory of God. They see the wisdom of the Creator. So I've been a doctor for 20 years. I've studied science more than that. And I don't see any contradiction with the Creator. It makes me more in awe of the Creator, how beautiful everything is. So the resistance begins on the individual level, where each one of us begins to sacrifice. Each one of us begins to sacrifice so that we will create a world where freedom is still available for our children. Our freedom that we had is a byproduct of the previous generations sacrificing themselves, storming the beaches of Normandy. Confronting fascism and evil, and dying if necessary. Look, personally, I'm not afraid of dying. And I'll tell you why. We live a finite number of years, right? Some people live 20 years, some people live 100 years. In the grand scheme of creation and in relation to the infinite, it's insignificant. But what is significant, actually amazing, that God has granted us consciousness and free choice. And while we live in a finite place, we, through our actions, could actually connect to the eternal and to the infinite. It's remarkable. So I'm not going to sacrifice one instant of time in this world for some pleasures in this world, or and give up the opportunity to connect to the infinite. And so it may come to the fact that some of us, or many of us, will have to stand up against, it's a David and Goliath situation. And I have no guarantee if we're going to live or not, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that our children will have the opportunity for God consciousness. Because all... all totalitarian, evil movements, the first thing they do is remove religion from the society. It's a very simple way. If I bow down to God, I'm not going to bow down to them. And so the first thing they try to do is take away the spiritual strength of people, and then cause fear, sound familiar? And then use that fear to manipulate behavior and cause a cultish codependency on sociopaths. But in reality, God is giving us a choice, every one of us. And what's the choice? Who are you going to bow down to? Who are you going to worship? Are you going to worship your Creator, who makes you anew every instant in time out of love? Or are you going to turn to corrupt governments, despots, and other gods, like this vaccine? This worship of this vaccine is like the worship of the golden calf. By the way, the only thing this vaccine doesn't do is prevent COVID. So we all have an opportunity to pivot and reprioritize our value structure. You know how many people told me, I'm getting the vaccine because I want to fly. I'm getting this vaccine because I want to eat at my favorite restaurant. I'm getting this vaccine because I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to be expelled from school. I understand that it's disruptive, but I am not willing to sacrifice my future for a few moments of peace of mind in the present. I'd rather sacrifice in the present so that me and my children have a future. In normal societies, it's the parents that sacrifice for their children. Every parent wants a better life for their child, spiritually and materially. In pagan societies, it's the adults that sacrifice the children for their own purposes. And we're seeing it right now. CDC says that children 18 and under have a 99.998% recovery rate from COVID with no treatment. In medicine, there's something called medical necessity. Just because I know how to do something doesn't mean I have to do it. So a silly example, someone comes into my office with a runny nose and I amputate their hand. Well, I mean, I know how to amputate a hand, but it doesn't mean this runny nose needs that. So that's the point. It has to be necessary before we do something. Where's the necessity in vaccinating children for something that is safer than the flu? And the answer is there is no medical necessity. There are other agendas at play here. So let's, I want to give you an overview quickly of what I really know has happened. COVID-19 was a man-made, bioengineered weapon of mass murder. We have 20 years of, I don't know if I would applaud that one, but we have 20 years of patent evidence, 20 years of published peer-reviewed evidence that describes how an animal virus was manipulated to infect human beings, and that its payload became lethal and destructive to human lung tissue. But the main purpose of this weapon was to create mass psychosis. And how was that done? Well, all we heard on the media was, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to die. Then people were isolated from the people they love and also their spiritual foundation. You know, you weren't allowed to go to a synagogue or a church, but you could go and protest at a BLM rally. So people were alienated from their support networks. And then people were dehumanized by putting on a face diaper. And we have not yet seen the damage that that has done, because children learn from reading facial expressions. They learn how to socialize by, like, assessing cues. And by masking children up, we're basically going to raise a generation of Asperger-like children. And so the end game was always to create panic and cause people to psychologically decompensate. And why was that necessary? Because when someone is in that state, they become very gullible and very easy to manipulate, and they'll believe anything you tell them if you tell them that that's going to relieve their pain and emotional stress. That's why if you ever confronted someone who is of that mindset and you ask them questions about why they believe what they believe, they become belligerent. They can't take it. But the real reason why is that you're bringing them back into that anxiety state that they don't want to be in. And so by bringing humanity into that state, then the false promise of healing through this vaccine was brought up. And we created, basically, they created an artificial, disingenuous reason to motivate 7 billion people to get inoculated with something that's a weapon of eugenics. Many people die relatively close to the injection. Lifespans of people have been reduced significantly because of chronic disease, such as cancers and autoimmune diseases. It causes miscarriages at a horrific rate. And it makes people infertile. That's a very powerful tool. It's brilliant, actually, weapon of population control. It also has something else in there. It has technology, surveillance technology. There are patents and plenty of evidence to document that there is, on the nanoscale, on the very small scale, the technology to measure biometric data. So what that means is that it senses your temperature, your heart rate, your pulse. But more importantly, it could transmit that data with your location to a third party. This is a patent, a U.S. patent, that documents this. Now, so what? Well, so what is like this, that the Microsoft owns a patent, it's an international patent, WO2020-06-06-06. And that patent describes the linkage of biometric data transmission to cryptocurrency. What? The world is going to transition into a cryptocurrency-based system. Forget about fiat currency, paper money, credit cards, that's all going to go away. And the way to participate in that system is you have to be a transmitter of biometric data. So the way it will work is you need to buy bread, you go online, favorite store. You order bread, then you have to pay for it, right? So you scan your hand on a sensor, everyone will have one, and then a drone delivers your bread. Now, it sounds cool, but what if I don't want to be injected with a 24/7 device that tells whoever's in power where I am all the time? Well, then I can't participate in the system of finance. So basically, they don't need a gulag. They don't need to put a bullet in your head. All they need to do is turn off your ability to buy bread for your family. This is enslavement. This is slavery. Slavery has always been the most lucrative, call it, industry in the history of humanity. And right now, there's nothing new here. You know, what they call the New World Order is just a rebranding of the oldest world order of idolatry, paganism, and child sacrifice. So I want to officially announce to the world, I'm a globalist. I believe God is the King of Kings, and he has global dominion over the world. And we need a new world order where we live by the will of the Creator and not submit to tyranny. And then we can build back better a world where God wants to be revealed. So this is a very privileged, I'm running out of time, but this is a very privileged era to live in, because in reality, I don't see a natural way out of this. The Goliath is almost insurmountable. But God could do anything he wants. And so we need a supernatural intervention. Let's be blunt. We need the messianic redemption. I don't care if he's coming back or he's coming for the first time. All I care is that he comes, and that will resolve all the questions. But supernatural interventions are not free. We have to pay a price. And the price is the reconciliation of human hearts with their Creator. When we pass a certain threshold, I don't know the threshold, but God knows, there will be an ushering in of such truth and light, and the world will be filled with the knowledge of God like the waters cover the seas. Thank you very much, and God bless you. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, everybody, real quick here. Let's hear one more time for Dr. Zelenko. All right. Now, a couple announcements for you. Dr. Zelenko agreed to go out there and meet everybody. So if you'd like to meet Dr. Zelenko, he wants to meet you. He'll be out there. So if you want to meet Dr. Zelenko, again, he'll be out there. And he is an absolute great American. I love this guy. He's the real deal. Dr. Zelenko right there, folks. So he'll be out there. And I believe your booth is outside. So you'll be out there. Is that correct, sir? Okay, this just in. He'll be out there. He's flexible.